Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
It is Friday, April 12th, 2024. This is another edition of Baseball Today. That is my man, Trevor Plouffe. I am Chris Rose, producer Dan, along for the ride as well. And the day has finally arrived. We have got our first ever live edition of Baseball Today coming your way from Boomtown Brewery in downtown Los Angeles. You can still get tickets, general admission, shop.johnboymedia.com. We will see some of you there, and we cannot wait. Right, Trev?
Very, very excited about tonight. Kind of been making plans with everyone around here to come down. I think I might even Uber with you down to the venue. I'm very excited about that car ride together. But yes, if you ask me what I like to do, Chris Rose, on my leisure time, it's drink some beer with some friends while watching some baseball. And we're going to get to do all of that tonight.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited.
Oh, I cannot wait. It's always great to, you know, it's great to mix it up in the chat with some of our John Boy Media community, to see them face to face, to press some flesh, to take some pictures, to shake some hands, to give out some hugs. Limited number of hugs for Plouffe, by the way. Those are extra special. Those will be VIP hugs only, I'm guessing. It's great. It's great. You guys are the ones that kind of make this entire operation sing. So thank you to those of you that will join us in advance. And hopefully, if this thing goes well, we'll have one in a city near you. So we cannot wait. Hopefully, this is the last time we have to talk about the Shohei Ohtani stuff. We taped Thursday's episode on Wednesday night. So the release of the federal investigation had not been privy to us. So we didn't know everything that had transpired. There was a report late Wednesday night in the New York Times that there had been significantly more money than the $4.5 million stolen from Shohei's account. That number became $16 million. When you read through the report, I mean, did your eyes just go, what the hell happened throughout this whole thing?
It almost doesn't seem real to me, Chris.
Right.
I mean, we're talking 19,000 bets placed over, you know, however long, and just the sheer volume and also like the amount that was going on. $12,000 average bet, like $100 and something million in losses. Like it seems like those are fake made up numbers. Mm-hmm. Like I think my biggest takeaway on it is, yeah, this is like a crazy story. And I think a lot of people are happy that like Shohei is just completely free of any charges. Like there was never any communication between him and Ipe about any bets. It just seemed like Ipe was operating independently and really just stole from Ohtani. But my biggest takeaway is, this is sad, man. Like clearly there was an addiction here. And I said this on Talking Baseball, you know, we're a company that, you know, has a sponsor that is a legal book, but what we always say is gamble responsibly. And I think anybody out there that, you know, gambles has to understand that like, it can turn into something like this if you get to a point and you don't get help. And clearly Ipe didn't get any help, kept it all to himself, and then got in this massive hole. So I feel like, feel bad. Like, I think it was just, part of me thinks like just reach out a little bit earlier. So if you or someone is dealing with that, like reach out and try to get some help, because stuff like this can snowball. Like this is, it's a fascinating story, but it really, to me, is just a sad story, man, more than anything.
I think that's really well put. Yesterday I was at NFL Network. We had NFL boot camp, which means that there's a bunch of current and recently retired players who were kind of working through them if they're interested in the broadcast world. And so I would do a segment with somebody, a fake game. We would call a game. I'd be the play-by-play guy and the other person would be the analyst. It would take about 10 minutes and I'd have 10 minutes off and Noah Eagle would host the other one. Every 10 minutes, I was coming off the set starting at 9 a.m. Pacific time. There was something new coming out about the report. And these are people who are in a separate world. Most of them don't care about baseball, whether they were NFL players or people associated with the NFL. They're just not into it the way that we are. I was saying these new things that were popping up and they were like, what? Like
crazy.
It was the talk of the entire thing. The entire thing was incredible. The fact that there were $183 million in lost bets and then $41 million net losses. And we're wondering, well, how does somebody actually continue to take bets when there's that much? There were so many questions about all this sort of stuff. And to me, the most frightening aspect of the entire report, and I read the entire report, was the fact that bookmaker one or two or whatever number it was calls Ipe, cannot get a hold of him, and leaves a voicemail and says, hey, I can't get a hold of you. We need to settle this. I am looking at, and they had to put out victim A or whatever it was, but we know it's Shohei. I'm looking at him. Maybe I should go over and ask him how to get a hold of you. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that he wants to go over and threaten Shohei? Like, that is, that's some mob shit. Like, that is scary, real-life stuff. And to me, that's the thing where you're like, whoa, this isn't just funny money and ha-ha. Like, this is big-time stuff.
Well, I mean, one of my questions in all of this is he stole $16 million to pay off $40 million in losses.
Where's more?
What's going to happen? And who's was the guy that they have on this, the bookmaker, was he privately funded? Because you know, I don't know a ton about this space, but I do know that a lot of those things are backed by other people. And if there's still $24 million out there, what does that mean? So I think there might still be more to this story. Hopefully none of it involves Shohei. Uh-huh. As bad as I feel for Ipe and what was clearly an addiction, like you feel for Shohei, who's probably going to have trust issues from here on out and keep everybody even further away from his inner circle. And by the way, this hasn't affected his baseball whatsoever, which I think is also a point that has to be made. This guy's going off when all this is surrounding him.
Okay. Last point. Number one, I do want to apologize for not knowing that Shohei could not have been taken off or put on the commissioner's exempt list or whatever list that is while this investigation was happening. That's on me. I didn't know it. That only pertains to, I believe, to domestic violence and other violent related issues, not to gambling. So that's on me. I didn't know it. And people brought it to my attention and said, be better. And you're right. I have to be better. The one thing that I would say is, this has been an extremely polarizing thing, topic. Some people wanted to see him guilty because they feel like the Dodgers are their rivals. And so they don't want to see him play baseball because of the baseball aspect. Some people wanted him to not be associated because they want to root for the Dodgers and root for Shohei and all this sort of stuff. I think what we have done throughout this process is say, there has to be an investigation. That is all we ever said, because all you heard was rumor this, rumor that. So for people to be pointing over the last several weeks when the story first broke that he's definitely guilty or he definitely didn't do anything is ridiculous, because we didn't have any information. So all we ever said on this show was that, is this possible? This could have happened. Is it possible this could have happened? Yes, there are all sorts of possibilities. And now that we definitively know what happened, in my opinion, Shohei's in the clear. And that is it. And so if we have to apologize for bringing up difficult topics, I don't know what to tell people. You know, for people who are going, well, fuck you and fuck John Boy and fuck you for doing this. This is what we do. We ask questions when questions need to be asked. I personally, I never judged Shohei. You never judged Shohei. I don't know. I don't see all the content we put out of John Boy. I don't know if other people did or didn't. I hope they didn't. But whatever. It's just, I think at the end of the day, this is also an important learning exercise for all of us, and me included, because I didn't do my job to the best of my ability in some areas.
I don't know, Chris. I mean, there's always going to be negative feedback on the internet. That's one thing I've learned. You know, I think we are a net positive on the baseball world. We put out a lot of content. We work really hard in trying to be the best that we can be. And every once in a while, people are just going to come at you, man. You can't really worry about that. You know, we're just trying to do our best here. That's all.
Yeah. So Shekador said you kept saying it was fishy. You don't. Right. The whole story was fishy. That's what we said. The entire story was fishy. Just read it out loud. If you don't think that it was fishy, not based on Shohei, what we said, that's not what we said. We said, oh, did we ever say, oh, Shohei was definitely guilty? Shohei definitely did this? No.
Oh, man. I don't give any credence to stuff like that, Chris Rose. And like, if you were doing something that was inappropriate, and then I think I'd call you out on it. If I was saying stuff that was stupid, you'd call me out on it. Like I said, like,
absolutely. But here's what I'm saying, Trevor. It's a bigger issue than this story. It's really why, in my opinion, our country has become so divided, particularly over the last 4 or 5 years. It's because we don't listen. It's because we don't fully listen to what is said by people.
And well, you grab one or two sentences, you get a headline, or you get a clip, and you don't, like, we speak very much in context here. Like, we will elaborate on things that need to be elaborated on, mm-hmm. but a lot of times that doesn't get put out in the clips.
Yeah, so, and that's our fault. And so
people can misconstrue what's actually said on our show, and that's a lot of times when people come at you or I or our company, it's because, you know, they're just reading a clip or hearing a clip.
Right.
And like, so you need the context behind it.
Yeah. So hopefully, even if you don't want to watch an entire 30-minute show, if you're just interested in one topic we've got, Dan Rourke does an amazing job of putting the link in there for just a particular topic. So if you only want to watch 6 minutes of a show, or that's all you have time for, go listen to those 6 minutes. And then if you disagree with us, by all means, let us know. We don't expect you to agree with everything that is said. But don't misconstrue what is being said, particularly in something that this isn't an opinion of who's the best pitcher in baseball or who's the best hitter in baseball. This is some serious stuff that went on. That's the only thing I would say to people. All right, let's actually move on to the games, which is awesome. Bigger series for an AL Central team this weekend, or against a New York squad in particular, the Kansas City Royals at the New York Mets, or the Yankees traveling to Cleveland.
I think I know which team you're going with, so I'll go the opposite route. You don't want to talk about your guard dogs, because this is what happens. When they get in the first place, you get real sheepish about them. You don't want to have any expectations because you don't want to get let down. I think it is the Yankees coming in town. These are two division leaders. The Yankees playing some really good baseball right now. The Guardians doing the exact same thing. I mean, the start of the homestand off hot. You know, you got the Naylor bros doing what they did, the walk-off with the two homers in the same inning, which was very, very cool to see. But the guard dogs are swinging the bat. Even without Williams or Bieber, they're still throwing the pill as well. I love that Carlos Carrasco's starting games because, like, how long has this guy been starting games for the Cleveland Indians? Forever. Or Guardians, excuse me. But he was back when they were
exactly. The Indians. You faced him probably 30 times in your career.
Many times. Many times. So I love this series just because it's two teams at the top of the division. And you'll get an answer in the short series. Like, yeah, who was the better team this weekend? I like that. There are some good pitching matchups. I want to see Sticks against the Yankees. That's really fun. A lot of the guys on the Yankees have faced Carrasco, some with some big numbers. Mm-hmm. Anthony Rizzo's hitting 600 off him with two dotting it. Stanton, I guess, only has three at bats to get in, but Juan Soto's hit him pretty well. So that'll be a tough lineup to navigate for him. But I think just because of the fact, and I know the Royals are on this massive win streak and doing it, just because of the fact that these are two division leaders, I like to see the matchup.
Yeah. The Guardians are off to a shockingly good start. They have not lost a series. Same goes with the Yankees, who we really haven't talked about them. We've talked a lot about Juan Soto. We've talked about them doing this without Gerrit Cole. They have played exceptional baseball, and to me, it's been very impressive because they have taken four series so far against teams that made the playoffs a year ago. I get it. One of them is the Miami Marlins, but that's not their fault. Everybody's going to play the Marlins this year at some point. But if you look at their first three series against, what, Houston, and then Arizona, and who'd they come back for their opener before the Marlins, their home opener? Who'd they play? Dan, who'd they play? Blue Jays. Yeah. Yeah. So that's a pretty good list. I don't think anybody's played a, quote, tougher schedule, certainly out of the gate, and the Yankees have done very well. The reason I am wearing the Royals hat, we talked about them the other day on the show. We talked about them a couple times this week. They won seven in a row. They lapped the Houston Astros. Consecutive days where they had innings in which they batted around. Most importantly, Do you know which team has given up the fewest runs in baseball, Trevor Plouffe?
Would it be the Kansas City Royals?
It would be these Kansas City Royals. These Kansas City Royals. Now, they are taking on a Mets team, which just had an outstanding road trip, winning series in Cincinnati and then Atlanta.
Yes, yes.
And so after starting the year 0-5, it feels like they finally got their footing. The Royals have only played one road series this year, tied with the Rangers for the fewest road games. So now they're taking their show on the road to New York and then south side of Chicago. So let's see if the Royals can continue this, particularly the pitching more than anything. That's been impressive for them.
Dan texted me my career numbers against Carrasco, 5-for-18, no homers, 278, not too bad of a batting average. The Royals in that 7-0, that homestand they just had, the most runs they gave up, Chris, was 3.
Yep.
And it scored double digit runs 3 times. I mean, they're doing it. They had a long scoreless inning streak from their relieving core. Their starting pitching has been some of, if not the best in baseball. And Bobby Witt Jr. has one dotted it since the first game of the season. MJ Melendez coming on. Vinny, you know, getting it going this series is good for them. They're a scary team. I'm scared of the Central now because the Twins look not great.
They got a little ways to go. Hey, Dan Rourke, do we know if the Guardians-Yankees game will be on at 4 o'clock when we have our live event today? Dan Rourke says he would like to think so. Dan, you're heading over to the venue shortly after this show is over. That is your number one job to make sure that we can see that. Okay, thank you. That's what makes you our one-of-a-kind producer, Dan Rourke. Want to tell you a little bit about the Farmer's Dog. It is a food that we changed to for our beautiful fur baby, Sydney, several months ago, and it has made all the difference in the world. The Farmer's Dog food, it is developed with vets, made fresh from real meat and veggies, portioned for your dog, and delivered right to your door. It isn't just fresh, higher quality food. They also send the food pre-portioned specifically for your dog based on the unique nutritional needs. All you have to do is go to their website. You fill out like a 5-minute questionnaire. It just covers the basics, like the age of your dog, the breed of your dog, the size of your dog, how much exercise it gets, and all of a sudden they send you these frozen packets that you keep in the freezer, and 24 hours before you use them, you move one to the fridge. It thaws out, and your dog is as happy as can be. I can tell you, Sydney, actually, it's funny. Every time we open the fridge, she's like, can I get some Farmer's Dog, bro? Just a little bit. I was like, no, it's pre-portioned, and we will feed it to you once in the morning and once at night, and you'll be a happy, happy dog. So she goes apeshit, or dog, whatever you want to say, whenever we open the fridge, because she loves this stuff. A fresh diet has been found to provide all sorts of health benefits. Healthier coat, healthier skin, better breath, which is really important because that stuff can get raw. It's like sometimes being next to an old like sports reporter in it too tight in a clubhouse. Some of those people are breathing fire. Same thing for your dog. Oh, also better poops. Better poops is a big time deal. So it doesn't matter if your dog is old or young. Keep them healthy looking and feeling great. Keep playing with them. That is the important thing. You're also going to get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/today, plus free shipping. That's a big deal because that box is pretty big. Just head on over to thefarmersdog.com/today. You and your pooch will be saying thank you very much. All right, a couple of former Cy Young Award winners are going to pitch against their old clubs this Sunday. Which one are you more interested in? Corbin Burnes taking on the Milwaukee Brewers or Blake Snell visiting the Trop?
This one's easy for me. It's Corbin Burnes facing up against Milwaukee. I believe Snell's already pitched against Tampa, and he had a great start when he did face his former team. But this one is – there's a lot of storylines in this. First of all, Corbin's been nasty in Baltimore and just in general. I mean, that's the kind of pitcher that he is. But I think there's some bad blood there, at least on Corbin's side. You know, he went through the arbitration hearing, wasn't happy about how that went, then gets traded from his former team. So it's there's just a lot of, and I don't know if Corbin really feels this way, but from the outside looking in, feels like there's a little bit of animosity towards his former team. And, you know, he's on a great team, and the Brewers are really playing good baseball. They're in first place in the NL Central. So they've been crushing the ball, and here comes Corbin Burnes in to, you know, try to stop them. He's only faced Rhys Hoskins because obviously he hasn't faced his own team. Rhys is 1-for-4 with 3 Ks against him. Corbin's been really, really good against lefties, so it'll be cool to see that matchup, him and Yelich. You know, Yelich has been having a banner year to start the year. I believe he leads the big leagues in homers, or at least he's close. Maybe the National League. So there's just so many storylines in that game. It's got to be the better game, and I'm very, very excited to watch that. I think that one's on Sunday. It's the third game of the series. And D.L. Hall also gets to throw against his former team. So this series is going to be a lot of fun and aesthetically pleasing. The orange Orioles against what I think are some of the best uniforms in the game with the Brewers. So there's a lot to like about this matchup, Chris.
Yeah, the series is probably head to toe more interesting because there's so many plot lines, right? You've got Jackson Holliday's home debut. You've got Jackson versus Jackson, the two
young. Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, it's true.
The game, I believe, right? Isn't Jackson Holliday younger than Jackson Merrill? Jackson.
The three youngest guys in the game are Jacksons, yes.
Yes. I wonder if their families, if they call them Jacks. Jacks? Jacks? Is J-A-X short for Jackson?
I don't like J-A-X.
I don't either, but...
I think that was a guy in Street Fighter, wasn't it?
Oh, interesting.
He's actually a fun character to play with, yeah.
So I think overall the series, but the one thing that kind of holds it back is that Corbin Burns is pitching in his home yard now. If he was at Milwaukee, it'd be more interesting. For Blake Snell, this is actually his first trip back to the Trop.
In Tampa, okay.
Yeah, and Logan Webb, who was our co-host this week on the Rose Rotation, talked about that. He said Snell he's reluctant to even tip his cap this weekend. He really doesn't want to do it. Hopefully they're going to play a video for him tonight so he can focus on his thing on Sunday, the game. I don't expect him to be great. Once again, he's still kind of in spring training mode, pitching at the major league level. So if he gives them four innings or makes it to the fifth, I think that Bob Melvin would take that in a second. So I'll be curious to see how he pitches against the lineup. But yeah, I think overall that the entire full story of what is happening at Camden Yards this weekend is certainly more interesting.
Now, I want to throw this out there, and this is not a shot at Cash because I actually really enjoyed playing for Cash, and we've had some good times together.
Uh-huh.
But how funny would it be if Bo Mel goes out there to take him out of the game but then leaves him in?
Funny.
That would be some great baseball drama right there. Blake Snell looks over at the dugout. I would love for that to happen, Bo Mel, if you're listening.
It has to be in the sixth inning, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it has to be later in the game, yes.
I think it happened in the sixth in the 2020 World Series. I mean, Blake Snell threw arguably the greatest start in Tampa Bay Rays history. Arguably.
It was incredible. He was
with everything
dealing.
On the line, then freaking gives up a hit, and then they pull him. I mean, there still has to be a tremendous scar on that one, right?
Let me tell you something about Blake Snell. Good guy, cheery personality for the most part, but he does not forget things, dude. He does not forget things. It'll be fun to watch.
The chat is letting us know Jax is Mortal Kombat. Is that what you said?
That's what I meant, Mortal Kombat. My bad. Street Fighter, that's on me, guys. That's on
all right.
Me.
Hushburger, good job in the chat. Metal arm, apparently?
Yeah.
Metal
arm. Yeah.
Okay.
Mortal Kombat. Oh, gosh, man. I think I'm the only one that enjoyed those movies, too. I think Mortal Kombat just had such an influence on my childhood. Fatalities and babyalities, all these things.
My goodness.
Man, so fun.
One final note. Did you know that Corbin Burns and Blake Snell are both fifth all-time on the Brewers/Rays strikeout list?
I did not know that.
Fifth.
Nice catch.
Okay. After losing 5 of 7 on the road, Houston returns home for a series against the world champion Rangers, and then the powerhouse Atlanta Braves pay a visit. Is Houston just a little wobbly right now, or is there a little bit of concern for you?
I think there is a little bit of concern, and typically I would say it's just early in the season, and I probably will feel that way in, like a month or so, but they really are dealing with some big injuries to the pitching staff. And you couple that with the struggles that Hunter Brown has had, you know, over the last, I mean, last year at the end of the year, not good. This year, starting off the year, not good. 11 hits surrendered without going an inning pitched in his last start. Like, that's a complete blow-up start. But it's not like he's been good and just had a blow-up start. Like, he just hasn't been there. And like, you know, we don't know what's going on with Framber. Justin Verlander is 41 years old. Like, there's just a lot of things going on. Jose Abreu, who I like, you know, shoot, I was a big fan of the signing, but I don't know if age has just caught up with him too, because he's looked bad. It's just, there's a lot of things going on right now. And we're talking, thank goodness for Ronel Blanco showing up and doing what he's done. If he hadn't done that, then we're talking about something completely different. So like, as of right now, it does feel a little bit different just because the injuries are really, really piling up. Seems like some age is starting to come into play with a few of the players. And really, the swing for me in thinking, is this for real or is it not for real, is Hunter Brown's performance. If he was doing his thing and you still have Javier and you're bringing up a prospect in Arrigetti and you have Ronel Blanco doing his thing, we would be saying, oh, same old Astros, somebody's hurt, they got another guy just to step right in. Oh, they got rid of a player, someone else is going to step right in. But without him there, it just feels a little bit light, and we don't really know how that pitching staff is going to look in a month. So it does feel a little bit more real to me than just a bad start to the year.
This is their worst start in over a decade. 4-10. They haven't done that since 2013.
And the bullpen has been like...
That's the thing. To me, that's the thing that they've always been able to hang their hat on, is that they've always been able to get through those middle innings if the Astros starters cannot give you exactly what they need. Remember, I told you earlier this week that the Astros starters' ERA the second half of the season was like 4.74. So they were dealing with that all last year, and they still were able to win the division. It's a little bit of a struggle bus right now because so many of those guys that they relied on to eat those middle innings are no longer there or available in the case of a Kendall Graveman. So there are serious questions. Now, there is some good news. I was reading a little bit about Framber, and it sounds like he might be closer to throwing than not throwing, which could be great news for them, and hopefully he's okay. A couple other guys aren't going to be available, and Garcia and McCullers until midseason. Like, that's not coming anytime soon. Verlander is very close. He's got like one more rehab start, and then maybe we could see him back at this level.
Right now, currently, Chris, on their IL, and you just mentioned Verlander's close to throwing. We got good news on Framber, which is great. Luis Garcia, Lance McCullers Jr., Jose Urquidy, Framber Valdez, and Justin Verlander. That's a great five for a team.
Awesome. Take it. Sign me up. I'm in.
So I'm curious to see how JV looks.
Yeah. Because at some point, it falls off. It just hasn't for him yet. Like last year, he was exactly what they needed at the trade deadline. And he was phenomenal. He really is incredible. By the way, their starters are getting an average of 14 outs per start.
That's not good. And I talked about Hunter Brown his last year. His ERA in July, 5.92. His ERA in August, 6.23. His ERA from September 1st on, 8.74. And then this year, three starts in, 16.43. It's not good.
No, he hasn't been good. He was supposed to be the next in line.
The guy, Verlander clone.
Yeah. Wow. It's going to be interesting. This was interesting. There's a report that Jordan Montgomery has left the Boris Corp. He will now be repped by Wasserman. The prize free agent had to settle for a one-year $25 million deal. He does have a nice vesting option should he choose to take that, but he can be a free agent at season's end, in which case he would have new rep. How big a story is this?
I don't know. Depends on what you think a big story is. This does happen quite often. Guys do leave, and a lot of times guys leave to go to Boris. And I think that – I don't think it's – I mean, obviously last offseason played a part in it because he was disappointed in how it went for him. But I also think it just – he's looking to – at who Boris has this year in the free agent class and like how much time he's and focus he's gonna have to put into those guys. And the last thing you want as a player is to feel like an agent doesn't have your back fully or has somebody else ahead of you. And you know that's the case, because if, you know, like in my instance, like I know there were guys obviously were making more money than me that was, you know, had bigger contracts than me, but I knew that my agent had my back no matter what. You want to feel that way. And if you don't feel that way, then you got to go. And I wouldn't be surprised, Chris, and I said this already before, if we see a couple more guys leave him to go to different representation where they feel like they'll be this, the star of the show or like the main interest or at least one of the main interests. Because right now, going into this offseason, I mean, it's going to be Juan Soto. It's going to be Alex Bregman. Like, there are some guys there that are going to be in front of you in the pecking order as far as doing business. And Jordan Montgomery basically is saying, I don't want to have that happen again to me.
I think it probably has more lights and sirens and buzzers than most people, because if he left Wasserman to go to somebody else, to go to CAA or wherever, and not Boris, if Boris wasn't a part of the equation, this wouldn't even have gotten a headline.
Yeah.
But based on what happened with three of his bigger clients in the offseason, in Montgomery and Snell and Chapman, then it is a big deal. I really don't think that it's a case of baseball teams not wanting to work with Boris for the most part. Are there a couple of teams that might not want to work with him? Yes. But at the end of the day, are you telling me that you don't want to have Juan Soto on your team next year? That you don't want to have Corbin Burnes on your team next year? Like, I do. I do. So are there possibilities that there's some stuff that goes on with Scott? I don't know. I don't know how he is to deal with behind the scenes. I know Scott a little bit. You know Scott a little bit. But I can see it. To me, it's not that big a deal. But I can understand why people think that it is a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely happens all the time. But Boris is a very polarizing figure in the game.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. There's people that hate Boris just because they want to hate somebody. And he's, you know, when you're getting the biggest contracts, having the biggest guys, like when you're on top, people are going to want to see you fall. And that's kind of like what they think happened. I mean, this offseason, it was not a good offseason for him. He'd probably be the first person to tell you that.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, in my mind, it's not that big of a story. I think I think there's probably going to be a couple of other guys as well. But he just has such a crazy crop of guys coming out this year that it makes sense to me.
And did Scott Boris miscalculate the market?
Maybe.
Probably. Is it possible that he had a poor offseason, just like some people have a poor season? Possible. You know, I mean, he did come out with a quote. I think he said we had a dramatic difference in the competitiveness and aggressiveness of owners to win. Yes, that's part of the deal. But also, if there were substantially higher contracts than the ones your clients ended up signing for, then that's a gross miscalculation, if that indeed happened. We don't know exactly what was on the table. I wasn't privy to those meetings. I don't know if you were.
No, I think a lot of the things that we mentioned on the show, like these guys all had something. The Boris Four all had something, really, except Montgomery. They all had something that you could point to and say, okay, well, we don't really know about this or that. You know, I think age played a factor in some of it. Jung-Hoo Lee, who I forgot was a Boris client. He got a nice deal, probably sure. Above what people thought he was going to get.
Yep.
So, you know, I guess not all losses for Boris this offseason.
Doesn't he have Yamamoto? Does he have him?
I don't know. It's a good question. Because that'd be a couple big victories.
Yeah. Not bad. Somebody put in the chat. Oh, my God. I want to read it because Alex Bregman is one of the clients. DMarks25 said, Boris is the type of guy to tell teams Bregman is, in fact, 6 feet tall. That's funny. That was very funny.
I don't think...
You don't think he is?
The same agent.
Okay. Off base there.
Joe Wolf of Wasserman.
Joe Wolf's doing fine, too. Everybody have a wonderful weekend. For those of you that bought tickets to our live event at Boomtown Brewery, we are excited to see you. Can't wait in person. By the way, that live event, we're going to be taping it and then putting it out as well. So everybody can see what it's all about. We're going to be vlogging it. It's going to be great. We cannot wait. Thanks to Bill and Dan for putting on a great show out there. We cannot wait to bring it to you. Everybody have an amazing weekend. We are back at work on Monday. A ton to talk about once the weekend wraps up. For our one-of-a-kind producer, Dan Rourke, and the uber-talented Trevor Plouffe, I am Chris Rose. We will either see you tonight at our live Baseball Today event in Los Angeles, or we will see you Monday on Baseball Today.
Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.